Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And that swagger. Because they used to have that swagger, right? And it seemed so, you know, it seemed so brash to some people for this young group to believe they could accomplish great things and hadn't done it. And this is why they say it. Well, until you do it, don't talk it. But I didn't have a problem with that, them talking it. Because at first, a lot of, to me, their talk was to fire each other up. They had each other's backs. So go find that again. I think that that's one of the biggest things. The learning lessons are the ball is very valuable. Take better care of it. Work with better purpose, better intent, and stop worrying about the other stuff and whether or not people are out to get you or not. Just go into the game with the mindset of it's the 15 of us against everybody else out here, and we're going to just do our thing. And if it works, great, because we think we're good enough. If it works, we're going to win just about every game when it works. If it doesn't work, we'll go look at the tape and see what didn't work. Like, it's, they do have a remarkable ability, as Tuomas said, to just put it behind you. I mean, the loss in Cleveland was a tough one. And right out of the All-Star break, I'm on the team bus, and I'm like, oh, we might want to keep it down. These guys are probably going to be frustrated. It was anything but that for the couple of players that just had some family in attendance, so they were on the last bus, which is usually just staff and lowly media, or not media, but team broadcasters like me. We hate that term, media. But they were in there, and they were just having a blast talking about, you know, life and things moving forward. And I was like, that's pretty, that tells me that they said what they had to say and got on. It didn't tell me the, you know, some people say, well, I got to show you that they don't care. I don't believe that one bit. I think if you don't care when you're playing at this level, it will be exposed so fast and you will be out so fast if you just don't have that care and to it, but it can improve. I mean, I think you would agree with me having watched every game, it can improve. They can be more mentally prepared. They can be more mentally strong. They can take those steps forward of maturing and saying, hey, let's just go play basketball. Let's just go play basketball. It's real easy for all of us outside of it to go, why don't you guys just stop with all the nonsense and play? Because it is part of the game. I mean, look at the Rockets-Warriors series. My gosh, these dudes are about like, it looks like a WWE match out there at times. And, you know, the arguing and the yelling and the teams that have been able to push past it and just play the game to what their game plan was have won their respective 5 games. Warriors 3, Rockets 2. You know, learn from all of it. Learn from all of it because the team is solid. You know, you're not talking about a Washington Wizard, you know, Charlotte Hornet situation here where they're just, you're like, which way is up? And I mean, at least the Hornets have a couple guys to build around. I'm like, the Wizards are in a real pinch. And you go, what are you going to do? Like, what's the move going forward? You're not that. And so don't even start, you know, thinking that that's the path that this is headed, because I don't believe that for a second.
Eric, we wish you safe travels, my man.
How long are you down on the Gulf there, buddy?
So we will be headed back Saturday. So a little Saturday to Saturday. And I've been doing the show via Zoom down here.
I see that. That's yeah. An excellent way to not burn vacation days yet. Yep. Still go on vacation. I remember those well. I hope the broadcast sounded well and entertained you on the way down, my friend.
It's always good to hear you, my man. You know, as I've always said, I was a fan before I was a friend. So nobody better than you, buddy.
I appreciate that. I'll see you back in Memphis soon, my man.
That is Eric Hasseltine, of course, of the Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network. We come back, we get into the list. We'll do that next, right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. If you are thinking about getting engaged, go see my friends over at Robert Irwin Jewelers, because they are the number one place that you can buy an engagement ring for a couple of reasons. Number one, you get more choices at Robert Irwin Jewelers. They have a large collection of natural and lab-grown diamonds in all shapes and sizes. And more importantly, if you can dream it, they can make it come to life at Robert Irwin Jewelers. You can do what I did with my wife's engagement ring. I went in with a couple of pictures and went to work with the fine folks at Robert Irwin Jewelers. We got a beautiful ring that she loves, and we came in under budget, and it's something that I will, from time to time, find her still admiring. It's one of the best purchases I've ever made for her, and I think she would agree. You can also do so with peace of mind at Robert Irwin Jewelers. The meant-to-be guarantee means that for any reason, if you do a custom-made engagement ring and you're unhappy with it, you have the full 365 days to return it. I got to tell you, it is not as daunting as it sounds to do the custom-made engagement ring. It really is just as simple as, hey, here's some pictures of an idea, here's a drawing, here's a sketch, and then they can make it come to work. That's what they do. They are fantastic with engagement rings. Also at Robert Irwin Jewelers, they have free ring sizing for life. And don't forget about the free jewelry spa service for life as well. They will make your jewelry look like the day that you got it. Also great financing options at Robert Irwin Jewelers. You can ask her now and pay later with financing like 24 months deferred interest, or you can take up to 60 months to pay at a low APR. With over four decades of experience in the jewelry business, Robert Irwin Jewelers has become a trusted name for generations of families here in the Memphis area. Five locations, or you can shop online at rijewelers.com. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, all at Robert Irwin Jewelers. George, let's get into the list. The Los Angeles Lakers. All right, Cobb, I got to know what maybe this says about me as a person. I found myself just openly rooting against the Lakers last night, and I can't explain it. Like, I don't know if it's just the Luka thing. Like, it's not a LeBron thing, because, like I've always said, 23 on the Lakers, 23 for the Cavs, 6 for the Heat. He's my favorite basketball player of all time. LeBron James, the person, I find insufferable, but as a basketball player, I'm always in awe of him. And what he's doing at this age is truly insane. I really think it's just the Luka trade. Like, it's. I'm now at the point where it's like, shouldn't you like reasonably say like the team that's on the similar timeline to the Grizzlies is the Timberwolves, and you don't want them to pass you, because this was a team like, even though they were winning more games, you're like, well, they still have the Grizzlies heebie-jeebies, like they can't get over the hump for us. But like down the stretch, I'm just thinking like, I just want the Lakers to lose. I don't know what this says about me as like a human being or whatnot, but like I did not think I was going to find myself rooting this hard for the Timberwolves in a game that I had no money on. No stake, nothing.
When they're not playing the Grizzlies, Minnesota's actually a team that is fairly likable. Like, Anthony Edwards, man, he's not only an electric player, an electric personality. And I find him easy to like, easy to cheer for. Oh, yeah, not to mention, like, you got Mike Conley still out there.
And he hit the big three. Like, that was kind of like,
unbelievable, man. Unbelievable that Mike Conley is still out here performing in playoff basketball in his, what is this, year 38 season for him? He's 37, 38. So, like, the fact that he's out there doing that, all the credit in the world to Mike.
Seven
man.
Draft?
Yeah, Basketball Reference says he's 37. So, this is his year 37. 37 years old, obviously. Yeah, he was drafted in 2007. My man has literally, he was drafted when George W. Bush was president, and he's still playing in the NBA and doing it at a high level. So I love to see Mike succeed. And I'm with you, like the discourse around the Luka trade the last 16 hours has now been kind of hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Because you got all these people who are like, wow, dude.
Bingo, Bingo was right.
Yeah, I mean, which is ridiculous. Like, this was never done to make the Lakers better immediately. You hoped it would, sure. It was done to set you up for the future. You are now set up for the next decade because you have Luka Doncic. It wasn't so you could go and win the 2025 NBA championship.
No, it was so that LeBron can't play forever, although maybe he can. I have no idea. But at a certain point, 20 years from now, LeBron James is going to be done playing basketball. It was to have the next guy. Like it was so that they didn't have to have the weird in between Magic until they get Kobe and Shaq. Like it was to smooth out that timeline. But I'm with you. Like the idea that I guess this is what annoyed me also last night post game. Listen, is Luka a lockdown defender? No. But how was everybody just going, that's the reason they lost, when I'm sitting here going, has Rudy Gobert ever had a playoff game like that? They have no rim protection. And like the whole time, why did they nix the Mark Williams deal?
There was nothing down low. I mean, and that was always going to be the problem. It was so obvious when the deadline passed and then the Mark Williams thing fell through. Like, I think the Lakers overachieved in the second half of the regular season, given the roster that they had. Okay, you could say, yeah, they have Luka and LeBron. What are you talking about? Yeah, but I mean, they had those two. They had Austin Reeves. I mean, what else did they have? They had no bigs. I mean, none. And which, as you mentioned,
the big that they had turned to for a large part of the second half was Jackson Hayes, and they deep sixed him.
Yeah. So,
Rui's still kind of like what he is. It's like if he hits a bunch of threes, he's useful. But if he's not, it's like, what's he doing out there? I don't know. I just, it was bizarre to me that it's like last night became somehow like Nico Harrison was right night.
Vindicated.
I think Nico has proven if he had to do it over again, he wouldn't do it.
Oh, gosh. No, if he had to do it over again, I don't think there's any way he would do it over again. Although, wouldn't it be hilarious if, like, somehow history gets rewritten here? And, like, what if the Mavericks end up in the playoffs against the Lakers next season and somehow win that series?
George, feel free if you have an answer, because Cobb and I have been kind of – Cobb's on paternity leave, and I'm on vacation, so we're watching sports, but we're not plugged in. Why was Kyrie at the game?
Your guess is as good as mine.
That was weird, right?
Is that not the same kind of
crazy bills? Like I was like, what's he like?
No, that's weird. But is that not kind of similar to why was Marcus Smart in Memphis for a playoff game?
Yeah, I mean, Cobb, did you and I talk about this? Like, because I was wondering. I was like,
I saw him. I was looking down at the court. That was the game I worked. I'm like,
well, that was also weird because it's like everyone was acting like he was so unhappy here, and it's like.
He clearly
showed up on his own dime. Like, what?
Hey, maybe he's got a girlfriend. You know, I don't know.
I mean, did he buy a house maybe, and like they haven't sold it? I don't know. Like, I didn't.
Oh, my bad.
I was trying to think,
that was
like, maybe his kids were still in school, and so he came back in the seasons. But like that was not. You can tell me other people would show up that were former Grizzlies. Did not have Marcus Smart high on the list.
No, I missed that, and it makes very little sense. Could have used him in a uniform, to be honest.
Yeah.
Could have used him in a uniform.
Yeah. Also, George, am I overthinking this, but why is when they asked Anthony Edwards after the game what his favorite movie was, it's Matilda? Is there a joke I'm missing, or is it literally as simple as, like, it's just a random movie, therefore it's funny?
To me, it's just random movie. From what John said earlier, because also, Cobb, if you've not been listening in, I've been producing since 9 o'clock this morning, baby. Triple header.
Since 9 a.m. today, and he's never stopped.
Util man. Someone had asked him if it was Boys in the Hood, I think it was, and John was like, not cool. That's not great. And then he responds with Matilda.
Okay. Okay.
I think it's just him being goofy. I mean, he was also walking around saying Ant-Man, Superman, whatever.
Hey,
Lakers.
That's why
five.
We love Anthony Edwards. Also, shout out to you, George.
Thank you.
Yeah. So
Ant-Man's also the guy who was walking around Los Angeles outside the stadium after knocking out the Lakers.
Yeah, that was
crazy
baller move. Matilda was not Michelle Trachtenberg. No, that was Harriet the Spy, right?
I don't know. I just remember this being a thing when I was like a kid. I remember it kind of being creepy. I remember being creeped out by Matilda. I don't really know why.
I was like, is there a joke I'm missing?
Matilda and Jumanji. Those were the two ones that really, really creeped me out.
Yeah, but Robin Williams is the best.
R.I.P.
Cobb, are you thinking Matilda or is it live action? Because the one I was thinking of was Coraline when you said that. It was creepy. The weird dolls with like the button eyes.
Coraline was like, it looked like Nightmare Before Christmas. I assume that was like a Tim Burton thing.
I think so. Still very
Matilda's
creepy.
Like, I don't actually know what Matilda does. She had the red hat. Like, she looked like the French girl.
Yeah. Here's the IMDb. A girl gifted with a keen intellect and psychic powers uses both to get even with her callous family and free her kindly school teacher from the tyrannical grip of a sadistic headmistress. That's Matilda.
That's right. She had the ESP.
Available on Netflix. Thing. Available on Netflix.
So is Ant trying to free somebody from the Lakers?
Ooh.
Yeah, but...
Is he trying to free Luka from the sadistic mentor, LeBron? Because post-game, LeBron then, like, lit up, like my guy AD. It's like, wait a minute.
Why is AD catching
strays? Yeah, those comments from LeBron were pretty fire. Like, I think that's part of what has contributed to the whole trade discourse today. Is basically, LeBron was like, my guy Anthony Davis said what he needed, and then the next week he got traded. Basically, Anthony Davis, while he was still in LA, needed a big to play with, and they wouldn't get him. They wouldn't get him one. So then they traded AD. So basically, they went from needing one big to needing two bigs, and so LeBron, I think, was kind of pointing out like, hey, AD was right. Like, but the thing is, like, LeBron doesn't maybe realize. I'm sure he does, right? But he's overlooking in that discussion. Hey, man. This whole Luka deal, it wasn't made with you in mind. This was made with after you're gone in mind. We weren't trying to win you your one last championship. We know you're just here to play with your kid anyway. So, like, we're trying to set ourselves up for the future. You know what I mean? So, like, I don't know. I feel like he's kind of missing the
plot.
Is he arguing
that they're not better with Luka?
Maybe, yes. I could interpret what LeBron said in that way.
Or is this just the classic LeBron? It's the end of the season. He's going to say something that basically threatens the front office and makes them make moves. But at the same time, it's like, what ammo do they have?
Well, you know, the new theory is that he's going to stick around long enough to play with Bryce James. Playing with Bronny wasn't enough. Bryce is going to be a freshman at Arizona this year. Never mind the fact that he was the number 258 overall prospect in the class. And that normally the number 258 overall prospect in the class would never have a prayer of playing in the NBA. But, you know, that's the theory anyway. Is that, LeBron, he's going to play long enough for Bryce to be on his team. Which, hey, that could mean he plays into his 50s because he might be waiting a while.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if anyone's going to do it, it's going to be him. But it's like at a certain point, I don't know. It's LeBron doing LeBron things. All right. College football coaches. All right, so Cobb pointed out to me that in his inbox today from CBS Sports, they have their list of P4 coaches, and they're about to start ranking them, and then they'll have the eventual content piece of when they compile all the rankings, where they come out. I actually think this is an interesting discussion because I want to just start off with number one, I don't know what the value is of a coach anymore in college football because it seems to me like it's actually trending in a direction kind of like the NBA where, hey, man, just have a bus driver. But what matters the most is who's got the best roster and who's funding the best roster. Like, is Steve Sarkisian really that much better of a coach than he was at Washington? Or does Steve Sarkisian maybe have a $40 million payroll? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. But then when you actually take a step back and you forget all the craziness of Belichick and Jordan Hudson the last, like, 5 days. The unquestioned greatest football coach in the history of the NFL is coaching in college football, and I legitimately have no idea where I would rank him.
Well, he's the most accomplished Power Four head coach. He's the most famous. He'll be in the Hall of Fame. He's accomplished more than most of the rest of the Power Four coaches combined will ever accomplish, but I don't think he's a top 25 college football head coach.
And I guess so. That's like the question. Are we going to get to this season And we're going to like, because I can see this one going one of two ways. One of which is, hey, man, the things that he wants to do, it's really hard to do with college kids. Like, they're not professional. Even though they're getting paid, these are not guys that are like football, have their football PhDs and can run all the coverages that he wants to do. And he can't get them to play the way that he wants to play because he can't simplify it enough. Or we can realize, hey man, we really kind of overthought this. Like the guy that was beating every team in the NFL for 2.5 decades, like, yeah, he came to college football and he proved like I can outcoach all of these guys.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, even after all the bluster about how UNC is investing in football and whatnot, I still don't believe their roster is a top 20 type of roster, which begs the question, is Bill Belichick at age 73 enough of a schematic guru and football whiz to overcome a talent deficit to make North Carolina more relevant than Mack Brown made them? Like, I still don't know if they're going to be as relevant or as good as Mack Brown's UNC.
Okay, so this is interesting. I'm with you in terms of if we're talking top 25, but there's a realistic case that all 20 of the top 20 jobs are just going to be Big Ten or SEC teams. He can have like the 30th best roster and still be the second best team in the ACC.
That's true.
And I mean, we saw this year the ACC, despite the league being god awful, like my only problem with the playoff was, I get why it happened, but having watched that league this year, the fact that we said this league's getting two teams in, and I understand the semantics or what they were, I was like, that league did not deserve multiple bids. Like, that was a one-bid league. But, like, maybe we get to the point where it's like, he's got them in the ACC title game, and who knows? Like, you know what I mean?
Well, you raised a point off the air. Who's the number two coach in the ACC? It's Dabo one. There's no question. I'm sorry. He's won two national titles. I don't care if they've dipped. Yeah.
I actually kind of think Dabo's coming back around. If Dabo can get the money, I think Dabo might have like a second wind, because you've noticed he's backed off on the transfer thing.
Yep.
He still recruits pretty well in high school. And like in the end, Ohio State, yes, they had an awesome budget and they took a certain amount of transfers. They're still one of the two best teams in terms of high school recruiting. Like, you have to have a foundation if you're going to be a title contender. I do wonder if Clemson can get the money right, if they can get back, because I know it's fun to poke fun at Dabo for being the way that he is, but it's like, he's still a pretty good coach.
So he's the best coach in the ACC. Then who's number two?
I don't know.
I think after
you have to say Bill Belichick until you're proven wrong.
Well, you also do have to account for the fact that Rhett Lashley at SMU is coming off of a college football playoff appearance. And it's still weird to consider the reality that SMU is in the ACC, but they are coming off of a CFP appearance. Kevin Jennings is coming back. I think that's a good thing, right?
I just think Rhett has a really good job, and people didn't realize like SMU was willing to buy. Like, SMU bought a playoff appearance, which, tip of the cap, like,
yeah, but isn't that what North Carolina is trying to do? I just question whether or not they bought the right product here with Bill Belichick. I mean, if the idea is to inspire confidence in like Bill Belichick's mental acumen at this stage in his career, like, why is his college age girlfriend there interrupting interviews and trying to be a interview media police? And I mean, if the idea was to sell books and to like let the whole world know that, hey, Bill Belichick wrote a book, then I guess they're doing a pretty good job of that. But at the same time, you're literally undercutting his like viability as a human.
I mean, I told Cerrito this yesterday, and if you've been watching the NBA playoffs, you can't see an NBA playoff game without seeing the Logan Paul, Jake Paul promos for the show that they have on Max.
Right.
And the first thing that just comes to mind is, I think it's Logan that says it, attention is currency in this country. Like, it really is. And it's like, to me, it's either one of two things. Like, I don't think there's any other possibility. One, it's a 24-year-old that's running the show that is inept and like not capable of running the show, which I lean to. Or number two, it's like literally like there's no such thing as bad publicity. Just make a scene.
It's probably both. It's probably the incompetence and whatever is making a scene, and then they're going to capitalize on the scene that it makes. So I don't know. I don't know who I would have. I guess I'd go Lashley. Man, you could talk me into Bill Belichick going 9-3. You could also talk me into Bill Belichick going 4-8. I mean, for crying out loud, they had to pry the South Alabama quarterback into the portal. I mean, Gio Lopez has a little wiggle to his game, but I mean, that's where they're at right now.
I'd rather have Gio Lopez than Joey Aguilar.
Ooh, hot take.
They played. I watched it. It was Tuesday night.
I take 2023 Aguilar, but Aguilar was bad this past year. But
Aguilar got his coach fired.
Did Aguilar do that, or did the offensive line?
Both. I mean, it's the Sun Belt.
I mean, it's hard to get fired at App State. Like
they went 5-6 or like 5-7.
My kind of thing on Aguilar is that you bring him in to start.
Yeah, and then you're gonna have to.
You have him stand in the line of fire against Georgia, and then you hand it off to Merklinger.
Somebody's going to have to take those bullets.
Yeah, right. You don't want it to be Jake Merklinger, you know?
No, I think you're – but I think the other aspect about this list, and we're kind of having to acquire data in real time, I don't know if the coach in college matters that much anymore. Like, it used to be the coach was the program, and now the program is the collective.
I'll tell you where it matters. I bet it matters a lot at Ole Miss, because I think Lane Kiffin is able to fundraise. I think he's able to put a face on that program that not every coach can put on a program like Ole Miss. I don't know. Like, you correct me if I'm wrong, because you're more plugged in down there. But like, I feel like Lane Kiffin's personality, his presence, his celebrity, if you will, is magnetic in that position and matters in a way that it might not matter at a different, bigger brand, if you will.
Yeah, I go back to what my boss said when Lane's name was popping up, and there were some Ole Miss people that were not happy about it. He's the perfect fit at Ole Miss. Like, in the end, Ole Miss wants to be good offensively, and like they're perfectly happy being like the team that scores a bunch of points and can't stop anyone. Like they'll gripe and complain, but like they kind of like it. And I think Ole Miss is a place that lets Lane be the program. Like, Ole Miss doesn't care that the brand is not Ole Miss. It's Lane Kiffin, and it's Lane Kiffin's program. And if he wants to have his dog run up and down the field, like, he can do that. Like, if he wants to, you know, be on Twitter firing off takes left and right, like, they let him do that. And it's like the perfect fit that lets Lane kind of have the personality that he wants to publicly display, and Ole Miss is cool with it. Like, there, and you don't. It's not like Ole Miss isn't going to sit there and go, "You didn't win a national title. What are we paying you for?" Like, Ole Miss is just happy being relevant, and Lane Kiffin makes them relevant. But
so head coach matters some places more than others. Like, I think at Ole Miss it matters a lot.
Yeah, I think it matters at the places that are traditionally not going to just win themselves.
Yeah, you look at like a Bill O'Brien out of Boston College. Like, he's going to be able to make the most out of what BC can provide in a way that another coach might not. I don't know.
Like, what do we do with like Dan Lanning? Like, Herd and I have always talked about this. Like, I get it. Eugene's kind of a weird place, but like, that's a really freaking good job. Like, you're always going to have a good roster as long as Uncle Phil's still walking this earth. And a lot of coaches have left that job thinking like it's going to be better over here. And it's like, but man, I don't know. There's something about Dan in game that I just.
No, that's fair. That's fair. His in game stuff is a little questionable. Dan Lanning and Marcus Freeman, though, they moved the needle for me because of the youthful energy. I don't know what category to put that in, but I think it matters in some way, whether it's selling tickets.
Marcus was the guy that moved the highest for me, because I was thinking coming into last year, like, what are we doing here? And like, he'd had some in-game blunders, some bad losses, but you realize, man, that guy, what he is elite at, it's like truly the culture setter. Like, that team took on his personality. Like, the thing that if you just set aside how people feel about Notre Dame, if you just watched Notre Dame's football team last year, they were kind of easy to root for. They had injuries. They didn't whine. They didn't complain. They didn't get a call. Like, they would just keep going. And to me, like, he sets the tone with that. And then there's also the fact of, like, damn, he's just cool. Like, he's just a cool dude.
We had the least hateable Notre Dame football team and the least hateable Duke basketball team, I think, in pretty much the same academic year. Like, what's going on here? You know,
I have no idea. All right, let's take a quick break. Jason Smith's going to join the program. Let's find out if Memphis is back in it with P.J. Haggerty. I know there's some Ole Miss talk, but let's see if maybe Jason has a little more hope that P.J. could return. We'll do that next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America. For America.
Jason Smith is the co-host of the Jason and John Show weekdays right here on 92.9 FM ESPN from 11 until 2. You can always follow him on Twitter on X at JasonSmith929. All right, Jason, I've been away from the city, so I don't know if I have the pulse. Is there optimism that as it continues to go on longer that P.J. Haggerty has remained uncommitted elsewhere? Is there growing optimism that maybe he could be back?
Yeah, there's a growing optimism. Maybe again, if P.J. Haggerty gets into the transfer portal early, as opposed to waiting until days before the deadline to get your name in, perhaps the market for him at that point when everyone is just getting started is a little bit different. But when you're talking about Memphis being at 3, as our man John Martin reported this week, and very important here, because there's a key distinction. It's $3 million just for him, according to John. $3 million set aside for PJ. That is not part of the $4 to $5 million. At least that's his understanding. It's what he told us during our show. That's separate from your $4 to $5 million budget. And so you're not talking about, okay, what do you have left if you know that had been our entire conversation for much of the time since PJ jumped in the portal. Hey, you can only go up to this far because you've got to fill out a roster with the rest of it. Even Jeff Goodman had said, do you give PJ 3 of your 5? You know, that's the way this thing had sort of been weighed. Well, if you've still got between 4 and 5 for the rest of the roster and you're reserving 3 for PJ, and oh, by the way, sounds like they've got a reserve as well for Dane, you know, you feel, Jeffrey, to answer your question, yeah. I mean, if Ole Miss is essentially, you know, offering right around the same thing, and that's supposed to be between 3.2, 3.5, you're offering 3. Well, maybe you do have the advantage of Chris Beard can make them all the promises in the world, but you don't know for sure till you get there how that's going to look. Whereas with Memphis and with Penny, you're up at three. They're saying Toppin got four. He's the second team AP All-American that you're sort of, you know, you're trying to compare your situation to and get what he got. Well, he's a big. And so I tell you that with Memphis at three and with the familiarity with Penny and, you know, PJ has said, I want to play point guard. You figure that Penny Hardaway, in terms of moving PJ to that one spot, now you're going to have a guard, I would imagine, the backcourt, much like you did with Tyrese, that can take that, have PJ comfortable off the ball. But keep in mind, PJ's got to prove to the NBA that at 6'3", he can be more than just a scoring guard. He's got to show he can play on ball. And so come on back, play point guard, and do it for $3 million. This is what John warned. While he still said he would lean right now, and well, I guess we had this conversation yesterday towards PJ leaving. You right now, you know, you've had Ole Miss there for a minute. You haven't taken it, and unless there will be someone that is desperate, misses on one of the high priority guys, they're going. Maybe somebody that's after RJ Lewis doesn't get him. All of a sudden, maybe they're in the PJ Haggerty mix, offering something close to the four that he wants. But with all that laid out, with where a lot of these teams stand having already gotten their guy, so they're not going to jump into the PJ Haggerty mix, yeah, I think you like your chances. Now, I don't foresee this ending anytime soon because there's no pressure on him. He can wait for that straggler, see if there's desperation from another program, go through the NBA process and wait to give Memphis an answer. But I do think that optimism is up on a possible PJ Haggerty return, and so too, Jeffrey, since you've been gone apparently. I suppose the hopes of Dane getting this waiver, I'd once dismissed that as, well, it doesn't matter if he gets in the portal because he's not going to be eligible to play. Sounds like Memphis, it's not just, you know, they've submitted the waiver. Sounds like they feel real good about it. And I don't know all the details, but John had dove in on this earlier this week in a column he did with the Daily Memphian. It sure seemed like, maybe he has shifted on how likely it might be. Well, maybe I should say how unlikely, because at one point it seemed like 100%. Maybe Penny has something up his sleeve, and can you imagine? But here's the point. This is where the bottom line is. We'd been in a point earlier this week probably where you'd start looking at this Memphis team and what it's going to be without PJ Haggerty and Dane Danger. Now I think we're in a space, at least for a time, a window, where you can consider what it would look like with the two of them. And that's a whole different conversation than one we've been having. And so, eager to see how this plays out, because even if you can just keep PJ, you like your team a whole lot better going into next season. And I once thought that was a done deal.
Well, Jason, I'm glad you brought up Dane, because to me it feels almost as significant with the pieces that have been assembled for next season. It feels almost as significant to me that you might get Dane Danger back as it does that you might get PJ Haggerty back. I get PJ's the All-American, but you've already got a lot of guard help on the way, including some pretty proven producers on the perimeter who, if PJ Haggerty doesn't return, could help collectively fill that lost production. I get Aaron Bradshaw is a promising player, but man, I don't know. Like, getting Dane Danger back would take that front court from looking really lean and really light to, man, all of a sudden you're feeling like you got the best front court in the AAC.
I like your point. And I think if you squared it up as Dane might be the most important one to get back based on what he's got on the roster, everything that you just laid out, and Bradshaw, man, I know the talent was there at one point, but people are scratching their heads on what's happened. Look, he's had injury issues. He's had other things. And maybe a lot of it, Cobb, you'd know better than me. And you can look at the 2 years, Kentucky and Ohio. He hasn't just been able to stay on the floor for a multitude of reasons. And so maybe if you can just get him on there consistently, what he showed as a McDonald's All-American, all that stuff comes back out again. But I don't want to have to depend on that. I want that to sort of be something that hopefully is going to be a compliment to Dane Danger. And so, yes, because of need, Cobb, and because that is the one area still, that front court, that they are thin, we said they need to go out and get another big. Well, it's Dane Danger. It starts looking a lot better. But, yes, you could definitely make an argument with who they brought in, which are starter caliber guys in some of those spots on the wing. Maybe not necessarily a guy that's going to add up to a second team AP All-American, but you have filled up some production there where PJ could have been gone. I, Cobb, I'm not sure I would disagree if you said that Dane might be more important at this point for the roster, although, you know, we've certainly talked as if P.J. Haggerty and having the second-team AP All-American so key to next season. We once thought that Memphis had to retain David Jones if it was going to have any hopes, right, of having a decent season this season. Penny goes out, flips that on us. Perhaps it could be just fine without P.J., but so long as you've got Dane Danger in there with the rest of what you've got. I'm holding out hope at this point. I'd cross it off my list, but maybe there's a way Penny gets both of them, and then, boy, I mean, you're right back into, you know, you're probably, I would say, you're a guy who's going to be ranking these teams, but I mean, you got to be top 15, top 20 if you've got both of them back with what you brought in.
Yep.
Jensen, I was thinking about like this because Munns has said the same thing where there's some money earmarked that if Dane were to get his waiver, mm-hmm. that there's money earmarked. And if PJ, if he wants to return, there's money earmarked. If you're Penny, though, isn't that kind of frustrating? Because all of a sudden, hey, guys, like I understand people going, I'm willing to pay to keep PJ and I'm willing to pay to keep Dane, but I'm just not forking this over. That has to be really frustrating for Penny, because if you were to get that money, that all of a sudden makes the job unbelievably better. Like, you know what I mean?
Well,
we're talking about
at that point,
$10 million roster. Yeah.
But this is not an SEC group of ambassadors of major donors. And that's, from my understanding from John, that's who they pulled this from. And there are only so many times, right, that they're going to be willing to do this.
People.
Now, they just watched to hit the same people over and over again. Now, they just watched P.J. Haggerty play at an All-American level. And back to Cobb's point, Dane Danger, and John wrote about this, was playing at an All-American level down the stretch. What he did to Yoxel Lindeborg, I mean, he was playing at that level. And so what's good, I think you're encouraged, actually, probably, Cobb, because at one point you're looking at $4 or $5 million, right? If that's the budget, you're saying I can't get this done. But if you've got ambassadors, a few, willing, and keep in mind, that's the key word, a few, that when they see something good, right, when they see something's worked for it, man, we're going to go out and do that for you. Problem is, okay, you're not a top 25 team next year. You know, those guys underperform, whatever else. Your issue is you got to go back to the same group of ambassadors and say, let's go do this again. And again, if they don't want to, boom, you're back reduced to the 4 or 5. So I don't know that this ever gets easy, but what is encouraging to me, Jeffrey, is, I mean, we were just having the conversation, I think, with you guys last week. I was talking about this, you know, at a time where you're looking potentially, where are your resources going to be best used as you get into revenue sharing, the NIL going up, up, up. We've been talking about, maybe, you know, perhaps the shift to football right move, because if 4 to 5 is all you've got every year, and that's including whatever the ambassadors are going to do for you, boy, that price to pay awfully high if you're going to try to remain nationally competitive. However, what's encouraging is that you have this, that when it's still, right, second team AP All-American, you don't want to lose. Sure, they can't get to 4. I mean, again, you're dealing with, you know, a handful of people here in terms of the highest level of donor. But they get you, okay, we got this. In addition to the 4 or 5 you've got here, we're going to cover this for you. You can't bank on that every year. And that's what will continue to keep this challenging. Penny has to keep flipping it. It will mean you must be a tournament team. You need to get to that second weekend at some point if they're going to keep writing you the check. That is the danger of having to replace so many guys every year when you don't have 7, 8 of them at least that you can sort of keep in there, lock in there, and have that continuity when you're having to, you know, in the P.J. Haggerty's case, I mean, you can't blame him at all for getting in the portal. We said it was good business. The guy has a chance to set the market. But again, it's you have to get to a point where you're only trying to replace, you know, that you're trying to minimize that board. Maybe it's 4 or 5 guys or, you know, more along the lines of what Houston, Auburn, Tennessee's kind of got it going, although they had a lot that they're having to clear out. But he's got to get, some of these multiple-year guys. And it will remain challenging, even though I think it's great news that this year, when they had to step up and pitch in extra, you got that done.
So I know you probably saw what our guy Rick Barnes said at the Big Orange Caravan. Jason, I'm curious to know what's been the discourse around the way he responded when I believe it was Parth brought up the potential of renewing the series with Memphis. What if anything, have y'all kind of gotten into with respect to that?
just the ridiculousness. I mean, the ridiculousness of it, Cobb. We've all been asked in that spot, mostly a lot of us, and those Tiger beat writers have to do it every year. We talked, we joked, it's going in there to get your head cut off. He doesn't even, he can't even be professional enough to let you get the question out, and yet he knows it's coming. When he comes to Memphis every year with the Orange Caravan, he knows there'll be a Tiger affiliated, a Tiger beat writer there to ask him this question, and he cuts it off, man, just because he can. I mean, a guy who, and I was making the point, you know, you can hold Kenny's behavior, some of the things he said, the Rick would say or the gamesmanship or lack thereof early when Penny was talking about balled up. Penny has since said, I handled that poorly. It's not like he's continued to shoot arrows at Rick Barnes. The whole, I know some Tennessee fans point to, I don't think Rick's ever said this, but the COVID game, the third game of the series that didn't get played, there is a feeling, at least among fans, I don't know necessarily about, you know, from Rick, because I don't think we've heard him hit it directly, that Memphis backed out of that game, or at least didn't take the same precautions as Tennessee did. They didn't like that. Here's the one I really think it is for Rick, and whether it's Penny or the fact that Memphis fired his friend, Tubby Smith, who, remember, this is who he renewed the series with. Rick Barnes definitely looks down on the way that Tubby Smith was treated at Memphis in terms of being fired after 2 years. And so part of it's that. However, that's what I would say is that's personal. You know, it's not up to Rick Barnes to teach Memphis a lesson. And particularly when it's, I mean, in Penny Hardaway's case, he said, I could have handled that better. Like, how long do you hold the grudge? Where Rick is right is that he doesn't need Memphis. You've got so many quad one opportunities just in the SEC. You got ESPN helping you put together your non-conference schedule. You don't need Memphis basketball as a quality opponent on your schedule. But what he should acknowledge, Cobb, as a guy, and I thought my partner put it best, he said, he's a guy who is a longtime college basketball coach. I wouldn't call him an ambassador of the game, but many might, you know. And Memphis, Tennessee, in basketball, is good for college basketball and always has been. Now, the 1-2 at one point was the highest rated matchup or whatever it was on ESPN. John's quoted out left and right. I should know it by now. And that's since been surpassed. And again, that in that case, it was 1-2. But every time Memphis, last time they went to Thompson Bowling Arena, as much as those folks say they hate you, they fill it up to see their balls beat you. It's the same thing when they come down here. It's the same kind of rivalry feeling between the two as there is, you know, certainly not the history, but as in Auburn, Alabama, that's how hot it gets. That's great for college athletics at a time where it feels like the fabric's breaking apart. You know, I got new players every year. I got to get to know these guys now, and I got a whole new team. I don't like this anymore. Well, here's something that would be great both for both programs. Your fans love it. Danny White's not going to tell you to do it because you're his basketball coach. You're an Elite Eight coach basically every year, and he's not going to tell his coach how to schedule. But I do think hopefully – you know, cooler heads will prevail once Rick steps down. This is all about him right now being in a position where he can tell Memphis, we don't need you, and use that as the main reasoning when we know it's become personal. So he's being a jerk. You know, it sounds like whining coming from the Memphis side, but I think it really is the truth because, as I point out, I mean, I'm a deacon in church. Rick Barnes, 2024, said the most important thing in his life is Jesus. Well, Jesus extended grace. And if you see Penny Hardaway, who came in, again, a high school coach turned college basketball coach, there were things he had. What are you talking? Ask Kelvin Sampson of how Penny earned his respect. Kelvin had some of the same doubts early on, too. Is this guy just going to be a flash in the pan? Like, go talk to your friend Kelvin Sampson about Penny, and you'll what Kelvin will tell you, that's a man that's grown. That's a man who's committed. Play the damn series because it's great for college basketball, I don't think he's chicken. I don't think that has anything to do with it. It's just because Rick Barnes is going to run it the way he wants to. He doesn't like Penny Hardaway. He doesn't like the way Memphis treated Tubby Smith.
Jason, we appreciate it, man.
Y'all take care.
That is Jason Smith. If Jesus can wash the feet of the prostitutes and the downtrodden, Rick Barnes can play Memphis basketball. I mean, I will say this, because this was the point that I made with Cerrito yesterday. I'm not trying to criticize any of the reporters. They have to ask the question. But, like, it is getting to the point where it's like, why are we asking the question? He's not changing his mind, and every single time he figures out a new way to kind of dig in a little bit deeper, like, he's coming up with new ways. Like, he threw in, like, the at the end, was like, well, I don't know if you saw this. Our conference was historically great, so we don't really need other games. But the one thing that is odd to me, nobody's begging for them to play in football. Like, we get it. Like, you know, like, if they played in football, I'd celebrate it, and I wish they would. But I also understand, like, it's not happening. But what's weird is there are lots of examples of the mid-major and the power school in the state. They won't play in football. But, like, they always play in basketball. Like, Ole Miss and Memphis don't really play Southern. They're never going to play Southern really in football. But, like, they play them in basketball. Like, all the Florida schools, like, they're going to play the – it just, it's odd to me. It's like, I don't know if there's like a state law that requires it, but like, it is odd that almost everybody's willing to play each other in basketball. And this one just will not happen.
Well, Jason was spot on with the reasons that he laid out. And I agree. Penny has grown and matured. And Rick Barnes at one point was
as a grudge guy myself, I got to respect.
Well, Rick at one point was a young coach who went after Dean Smith. I mean, you know, he was the young guy who disrupted the power structure at
young
one point. And now he's kind of, you know, now he's the old guard. I think Penny respects the old guard now more, and I agree. I thought Jason was spot on. Like, I would love it if Rick would give Penny another chance. I would love that.
Such a good series. All right, when we come back, we tell your story next right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Cobb, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, I guess we got to go to J.J. Redick about what could have been better this year. Quote, we have to get in championship shape. Redick notes that some players were in, quote, phenomenal shape, and others could have been in better shape, but collectively, they need to be in better shape. So again, the only reason the Lakers lost this series is because Luke is not in good enough shape. Hashtag, Nico was right.
I mean, I'm just saying, he's not the first one to observe that Luka Doncic is not in the peak of physical form.
All right, my man. We appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Enjoy the rest of that beach trip.
We got the sun now. We're going to fire up the grill here in a little bit. Good time had by all. I want to give a quick shout-out to George Ruggiero back in studio. He's been in there since 9 a.m. grinding, just an absolute Gruden grinder. I want to thank him for all that he's doing, keeping this thing rolling. For George, for Cobb, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And together, we host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.